Come lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have in today's gospel lesson two touching stories. The healing of Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood. Both stories have to do with salvation. We begin with a distraught father. A story we might sympathize with. A father coming to Jesus asking him to heal his daughter who is sick to the point of death. He was certainly sorrowful during her illness. Was probably holding her hand. Probably there at her bedside. Hoping that she would be healed. That she would come back. Probably comforting her. Praying that she would recover. But she did not. She passed away. You can imagine his grief. You can imagine his sorrow. And then he heard of Jesus, no doubt. And in a show of faith, he asked him to come in the hopes that he could raise her and bring her back. And he knew, being a leader of the synagogue, that if Jesus even touched her, he would defile himself. You did not touch the dead in the Jewish religion, because you would be defiled. You would be unclean, and you would have to go through a ritual cleansing. So he knew that. And even in that fact, he wanted Jesus to come and do this. He had the understanding that that was not the thing to do. But he asked Jesus to come. And in what Jesus did here, he gained another understanding of the love and compassion of God. Even here, in his suffering, his daughter was brought back to him. And what happened when Jesus came to the house? Well, she was dead. There's no doubt about that. People laughed at him. Yeah, sure. She's asleep, right? You're going to bring her back? She's asleep. They laughed at him. They laughed him to scorn. But she indeed rose from the dead. Think of the joy and relief the father had. Can you imagine that? Your child brought back from the dead? It's unfathomable. The father was just overjoyed. His faith had saved his daughter. Can you imagine that? The astonishment of the unbelievers, too, were probably just as amazed as well when the daughter walked out of that room alive. It's just amazing. I just can't believe it. And that brings us to the woman with the issue of blood. She also was, in that particular religion, also unclean. She was, because of that blood that was flowing from her, she was not allowed to even come in contact with any Jewish person. She was ritually unclean and could not be allowed to be part of the church. Even the Pharisees, who had on the hems of their garments, had thorns on them, so she wasn't allowed to even touch them. They had big thorns, so if she even came near them, she'd get pricked. They didn't want her anywhere near them, and they would drive her out of town. But she knew that Jesus had come to town, and she had heard of the love and acceptance that Jesus had preached, and she wanted to see him and possibly even touch him. And again, Pharisees knew that Jesus had not supposed to touch these people. He wasn't supposed to come near them. And here he is again doing that very same thing he wasn't supposed to do, become ritually defiled. And he does it again. Jesus wanted to know who touched him. And you know, his disciples are going, how are you supposed to know who touched you in this multitude of people? How are we supposed to figure that out? But this woman came forth and said, it was me. I touched you. And she, because of her faith, was healed. Another amazing story. That Jesus healed someone with such a great illness and brought them back, if you will, into the fold of the church. Brought them back, if you will, within the context of God's love, back into the church. Salvation was brought again into the fold, and back into God's love because of faith. Faith, again, is coming out and showing itself, if you will, to the people of the Jews. So what is this telling us, basically? Well, it's kind of a, as usual with all of these stories in the gospel, there's a lot of stuff intertwined into everything. It's always kind of hard to pick it out. And as you know, in today's world, they'd always scoff at it. Those miracles didn't really happen. Jesus didn't do all of that. He didn't bring people back from the dead. That's ridiculous. They always scoff at miracles. But they're always looking for giant fanfare, of course. You know, they want something spectacular to happen. And you know what? If you look in the first miracles that Jesus did, especially when he was tempted in the desert, the devil's always looking to make some kind of spectacular thing out of it. Wants you to do something spectacular, like jump off the parapet and the angels will pick you up. But miracles don't always have to be spectacular. There's little miracles that happen all the time that you may never notice. That's the reality of it. Jesus didn't need to do spectacular miracles. They happen. Healing is not exactly be a spectacular miracle. The divine physician may work through doctors and heal people all the time, and we just don't see it. But the idea behind this is faith. Faith may actually heal you, and we are talking today about the faith of the healing of your soul as much as your body. Your soul must be in alignment with the health of your body too. Both of them must be in sync. That is another thing that this gospel is talking about. The faith of your soul, the health of your soul and the health of your body are intertwined. So that's something they're not going to talk about here, of course, in modern society. They don't want to talk about that. Because the health of your soul boils down to one thing they don't want to talk about. It's called repentance. That's a subject we don't want to get into. Especially in society of today, that topic is verboten. Don't want to talk about repentance because that's a path we don't want to go down. Repentance requires you to look at the fact that you might have done something wrong, and we don't want to go there. But repentance is the path that we have to follow because God requires us to look at the fact of our lives. Our lives are not always perfect, believe it or not, including priests, and we certainly have seen that in today's society in the papers. We don't always do things correctly. And God requires us to look at our lives and try, even as much as we fail, to grow in his love and service. That is what God only requires us to do. We're not perfect. None of us are. But he wants us to pick ourselves up and try and follow the path to becoming better Christians as much as we can. We have to grow in his love and service. And today's Gospels are trying to point us in that fact that the health of our souls are a necessary thing, that faith in Jesus Christ requires us to at least try to get along on that path. Yes, sometimes we fall off the path. Sometimes we may not go the right way, but we have to pick up ourselves and try to get back there. The health of our souls are necessary. And what is that spiritual food that helps us to get on that path? Well, fortunately today, you're going to get that spiritual food. That is the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the one remedy that helps you along that path. Jesus said, our faith will make us whole. And that is the truth that helps us to grow in the faith and the Spirit to achieve that goal of salvation. And he gives us that spiritual food at the altar. He gives us to us every opportunity we can to go there. Now, sometimes we pray for healing, and our prayers are answered, and we become physically whole. And sometimes when we ask for healing, the prayer may not be the answer we want. And in the case of my friend recently, his prayer, he asked to be his pain to be ended, and he was taken to our Lord. That was the prayer our Lord answered. He answered it that way. It depends. You have to understand that our Lord's ways are may not be the A ways that we think they should be. But he answers them in his time and in his way. And these stories today tell us that we have to be willing to accept God's answers. He will tell us the path that should follow. And we have to be willing to accept God's will, and we have to be willing to continue to grow in his love and service. And when we follow God's paths, and when we try to do as he says we should try to do, it is then that we will be meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.